Good morning and welcome to the house of the Lord. It sounds like the sound is on and everyone can hear well. I hope so, right? Thank you. So before we begin the worship service this morning, I just want to say it's a privilege once again to worship with you and to lead in worship. I'm here with my wife, Kathy, and this is our third time here in the last while. We were here the second, third week of September, Thanksgiving Sunday. Today, that's communion that we look forward to celebrating. And recognizing Remembrance Day. Remembrance Day is this coming Wednesday. We'll take a moment of silence between the message and communion this morning. And you've used these communion cups before, but I'll give a moment of instruction when we come to that too, just being careful of the two tabs that are on there and using that. I have a few announcements I'd like to highlight. First of all, in memory of Marina Srensink, there are some, I guess they're called memorial cards, that are provided in the back by Jeanette, and you can pick up one of those. And also, she's got a guest book there, a sign-in book, and she'd appreciate if people would like to sign in that as well. So, without further ado, as we approach the Lord in worship, we do so realizing that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. This indeed is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it. And what a beautiful day it is, too. Do you remember last weekend? At least in my area, we had snow in the air. We had that extra hour of sleep. We'd had Halloween the night before. We had a brand new month that began last Sunday. And here we are already the second Sunday in November, approaching Remembrance Day. I look forward to worshiping with you and leading in worship. The plan is three weeks from now, which is the first Sunday of Advent then already. Boy, does time ever go by fast, eh? So as we worship the Lord, I'd like to just once again welcome everyone to Emmanuel Church this morning, and a privilege and a blessing for myself to be here as well. Now, there are people who hear this, I believe, different ways electronically. And we pray that you would be blessed in your worship with us this morning also. Our call to worship is found in the bulletin. It's from Psalm 25. Before we stand and sing, O Worship the King, let's gather around those scripture verses. And of course, we'll be reading together the black portion, the darkest portion, and I'll read the lighter one. Let's turn to our call to worship. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my God, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways.
He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way.
Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
We have in our bulletins a call for confession and the assurance of salvation that the Lord gives us. So let's turn to that at this time. Let's come before God in prayer. Lord, we pray as we look to you in the truth of what we see around us, the truth of who we are. Lord, we see your mercy, we see your grace, and we see our need for your forgiveness. Lord, especially when we think about the great gift that we have of the freedom around us through what we remember on Remembrance Day. When we think, Lord, just a short while ago, we were wondering about many different things. We have so much to be thankful for, but so much to realize how we have sinned and fallen short. Lord, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving, unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out our transgressions, wash all of our iniquity away, and cleanse me from sin. For I know my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Amen. Romans 3:23 and 6:23 talk so clearly about our sin and our need for confession, but also for the forgiveness that God offers us. We read, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And then from John 3:16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might have life through him." The summary of the law, then, how we are to live, is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. So when we think about the Lord's Prayer, the portion of the Heidelberg Catechism we're in now, there's question and answer number 128 and 129. I'll read the question and we'll read the answer together. What does your conclusion to this prayer mean?
"For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours forever" means we have made all these petitions of you because as
What does the little word "amen" express?
Amen means "this shall truly and surely be." It's even more sure that God listens to my prayer than that I really desire what I pray for.
Now, this is, of course, referring to the end of the Lord's Prayer, which we will say together out loud following our time of prayer, as we have our prayer for others and then gather around the needs that we know of. Now, I've taken a look in the bulletin, and before I share in prayer, I believe that the announcements that you have in there are complete, and we'll just particularly pray for the combination of ministries and needs that we know of. And if there are any other needs, make sure and let one of the elders or the leaders of the church know so that we can pray for you, perhaps before we leave. And be aware of that as we let others know the needs, joys, and concerns that that we have in our community, in our families, and in our church. When we pray, I do think that one thing I want to particularly uphold in prayer, and that is for continued peace in the States, as with the election there was anticipation of a lot of opposition or violence or things like that going on. And I think, in my opinion, it's rather miraculous that there wasn't anywhere near the violence that people were expecting. It's just the same was with COVID. The numbers were expected to be much higher. In my area, the numbers peaked again just a couple days ago, and still we are blessed, I believe, in ways beyond anyone's expectations, that more people haven't had this or have died from this, realizing that this is something that's still taking a long time to work through. We'll pray for doctors, nurses, frontline workers, essential workers, but also those affected by COVID in different ways, particularly the struggle of people who have special events at this time or deaths in their family with Mr. Rinsink. So we'll uphold them in prayer as well. So let's unite our hearts in prayer at this time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are not only our Father who art in heaven. You are Lord and God of heaven and earth, and also of us in our lives. For the big and the small things, Lord, you have given us always, pointing to yourself and us the ability to respond. And Lord, when we think of some of the different needs in our family, our church, our community, our denomination, our world, Lord, we pray that you would hear our prayers, but then that you would lead us if there are ways we can be an answer to a prayer as well. Lord, we pray and want to continue to pray for our neighbors to the south. Lord, we pray for those who ran for office, and we pray that you'd be with the president and the president-elect, and that you would guide peace to reign, that you would guide patience to continue, and that you would guide all who are in leadership there, but also here, as we think of Prime Minister Trudeau and Premier Ford, and as we think of our local leaders. Lord, we pray that you'd be with healthcare workers, frontline workers, people who deal with COVID directly, perhaps in different ways that it has affected this congregation too. And Lord, when we think of the Rinsink family with the passing away of Martinez, how difficult COVID makes this. But also, Lord, we thank you for your faithful servants that have gone on ahead. Lord, after the message this morning, we'll have a time of silence. And so we thank you for the blessing of those who gave their lives and served and still serve in different ways that we might have peace and freedom and the blessings that we have. Lord, we pray for the ministries and missions of this congregation and our denomination and the ones we're involved with, and even with the leaf raking on Saturday, that would go well. Lord, there are many listed in the prayer corner. Be with them and their different needs. Lord, we also want to pray for where it says praying for one another, for Willie, for Pat, for Elizabeth. Lord, we want to pray for those in long-term care facilities, for the health workers, and for the others who are on our update on our bulletins. Lord, we ask that you would, in different ways, let these people know that we are praying for them. And may they know in their hearts and minds that whatever they are facing is something that you care about and you care for them. And Lord, guide us if you call us in different ways to phone or write a note or find a way to share our love through the different challenges that different people have. And Lord, we pray that you'd be with the members of this congregation. Lord, whether there are physical or spiritual or mental or emotional needs, needs that have come from COVID or needs that come because of the change of seasons or needs that are financial. Lord, I know there are many different needs, some that people here have shared and expressed with one another, but ones that aren't even stated. Guide this congregation as it continues to look for a pastor too, and other churches that need pastors. Lord, be with ministers and missionaries in all different places, those that are part of our denomination, those that are local, those that are national, those that are international. Lord, we pray that you'd be with the congregational meeting and that you would guide all that takes place in the planning for that. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Lise, and we thank you for the note that she sent to the congregation. We pray that you'd be with the deacons, that those response ballots can come in, and that as they look for the nominations, that we can find people of your leading. And Lord, we pray now too that as we open your word in just a moment, that you would guide us as we hear and read your word and meditate on it. Lord, I also want to particularly pray for Camp Shalom because of the good news that they received a truck that will replace the one they had there. Continue to be with Tim and Adrian and all who work at Camp Shalom, especially as they've started that new Christmas program, the Christmas shop. May it be successful in reaching the needs of the campers who have been and who will come. Lord, we pray that as we read your word, that we would be blessed in the reading, in the hearing of it, and the applying of it, that your Spirit, who has given us your word, may in the same way give life to your word as it lives and moves and exists in and among us. So, Lord, I thank you that when your disciples came to you, you told them that your house would be a house of prayer. And when your disciples asked how to pray then, thank you, Lord, that we can pray that prayer together now, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. 6:11, He hideth my soul. Our scripture readings for this morning are Psalm 77, which has particularly three sections that talk about remembering. So try to make note of those. And then Paul's reiterating of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26. So first of all, reading from Psalm 77. Notice, too, how it changes very much from the tone in the beginning, then what remembering brings about, and where it ends. Psalm 77, the word of the Lord. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused and my spirit inquired, "Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?" Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O Lord, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And now turning to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. Now, this comes in a larger context about the Lord's Supper. And if you take your bulletin home with you, it's certainly worth reading the issues that brought up the need to make the centrality and the root of what is to be remembered in communion real. This is a rephrasing of what the Lord said, what Paul had received. But the verses before and after it tell us the context of the need to which these verses were addressed. So from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26, we read. And this is Paul writing to the Christians in Corinth, and for all of us, the word of the Lord. "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you drink this bread, eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." May God add his blessing to all who hear and read and apply his word. We read, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We read, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer." We pray for understanding from God's word. I always pray that from God's word, I'd find something for my head to learn, something for my heart or feeling or emotions that would change something of who I am, something for my mind or hands or feet or voice that I may be moved in. And I pray that for those of you this morning who stand in need of comfort or assurance or knowing that God's love is real, that his Spirit would speak that through his word. For those of you who stand in need of hearing about a change or a call to repentance or a call to move in a different way or a call to hear and see God in a way that calls us on a path different than what we are, that changes us to walk in his will and way, that you would by his grace hear that. Amen. So with the message for this morning, I'm trying to combine two things, people of God. I'm trying to combine "this do in remembrance of me," "this do in remembrance of me," which is said in Matthew, Mark, and Luke for the bread that was shared and the cup that was shared. And I'm trying to combine "this do in remembrance of me" with "lest we forget," the tagline of the veterans and the remembrances of November the 11th. And I got stuck for a few minutes. Stuck is the wrong word, but I found myself dwelling on the word "remember" a little bit. What are we doing again? What are we remembering? Found myself for a few minutes. Do you remember when you could actually hug others, or coffee time after church, or family or friendship gatherings? How many things were canceled? How much we remember with longing and hopefully look forward to that coming back sometime. Looking back or missing something. Looking back with sadness, even in the middle of our reading in the Psalms, it was almost like there was a reference to the good old days, but you know, that's not what the focus is here this morning with Communion and Remembrance Day. What will you be remembered for? A week and a half ago, the passing of Marinus was shared by some in the congregation and the extended family of God. What will you be remembered for? I'm sure a lot of what he will be remembered for was shared too. Sometimes remembering is related to death and a legacy. What is left behind that stays in our mind of the good that exists now? And though a slight part of it, that's really not what Communion and Remembrance Day is all about. So let's unfold for just a few minutes Psalm 77 and 1 Corinthians 11 to see what it says and to listen to what the Spirit has to say through his word and his Spirit's working in our lives to us about these verses. So first of all, Psalm 77. It's a psalm of yearning and longing, grief expressed solidly, moving to hope. It's a psalm that must have been written, or it's an expression of what happened at night to the author. Verse 2, 4, and 6 all talk about nighttime. And in this nighttime, he's looking back, and the word "remember" comes up four times. One of them is incorporated with the same word, just a few words after it, so I'll only focus on three. Verse 3, 6, and 11. Verse 3, in the nighttime, he's looking back and he's missing God in the struggle that he's facing right now. So the psalm writer is looking back and he's missing God. But one thing I find amazing, he's not just saying what he's struggling with in this nighttime struggling time. He's saying what he's missing, who he's missing. He's directing his remembering to God. When we think about Remembrance Day, we have a blessing of pointing our thankfulness and our remembering to God. So he's looking back and missing that. Verse 6 mentioned again that it's nighttime, and it says in song he's reflecting and he's remembering. These are some of the words: remembering God's love, God's promise, God's mercy. And after he gets a good way through verse 6, approaching the middle of the psalm, he thinks, I'm going to appeal to this. As I think about God and not seeing him in the predicament I'm in the situation around me, as I think about his love and promise and mercy, I'm going to appeal to that. I'm going to appeal to the God I knew who was closer to me and who I still know, but I'm not seeing or feeling or hearing him now. He remembers in song as he reflects. Have you ever had it sometimes that some of the songs you sing, some of the great depth that's in some of our older hymns and choruses, I pray sometimes finds its way into your mind when you're discouraged or when you're happy or different things like that? What a blessing it is sometimes to be able to have some of those hymns, those words of scripture, those words of song and praise, those words of psalter, those words of those choruses come into our brains. Well, that really is what verse 6 is about. In song, he reflects and remembers. That's a lot about verse 6. I'm going to appeal to that God that I remember, even though I don't feel it now. But then by verse 11, he remembers all the more what God has done. The word remembering God's deeds comes up twice. The words remembering the miracles of God comes up twice. His power, his mighty arm. And then the chapter ends, verses 16 through 20, remembering not simply that they were slaves in Egypt, but remembering the Red Sea. Some of it is referring almost back to, it almost seems to referring to what Isaiah experienced on the mountain. But it's definitely referring to your arrows, your thunder, your lightning, your path, your way. Those are all phrases I pulled out of verses 16 through 20. And I guess my question is, as I looked at this, I had to ask myself, Bill, do you get it? And I have to ask God's people, do you get it? Your arrows, your thunder. Getting it means when we remember, yes, there are times and places to count our blessings, to look at the peace and the freedom we have and those who gave their lives. But remembering is focused on God. And it's focused on the fact that it brings the past, the gift of his Son, into our lives now. So Paul works even more at this remembering theme and for even more of a critical issue. Because when Paul writes in these simple few verses in 1 Corinthians, verses 23 to 26, it begins by listing the problems that were happening in that church. And I'm just going to go back as far as verse 18 in 1 Corinthians 11. Paul addresses the divisions in the church. I'm not talking little disagreements. In verse 18, there are divisions and they're approaching communion. And Paul is going to address the people in Corinth from the foundation of the communion that they had been sharing and would be sharing. And Paul basically addresses the divisions in the church in Corinth. He doesn't say what they are, but he says so very clearly that they're not meant to be. Maybe that's one of the reasons why in our Reformed tradition, we quite often on the Sunday before celebrating communion, remind people to examine themselves and see if there are things in our lives that we need to put aside, confess, talk to one another about, because these divisions were coming to the Lord's table. Yes, we're all imperfect and sin and do wrong and so often find ourselves doing what we shouldn't or not doing what we should, but divisions. Then comes up patience. Don't get drunk. Don't begin before all are here. Do your eating at home. Then comes up the call to self-examination. Know who you are. Then comes the call to recognize and hold high and honor what Christ did. Many in that church were weak, many were sick, and many had died. Now, it doesn't say directly this is because of their sin, but let me tell you that when sin lives in our lives, the first thing it does is eat us on the inside, and it makes us not in the right standing with God. Many were sick and died, and many were weak. So the Lord's disciples were called to look at this. And by the last verse in this chapter, Paul speaks the words of the Lord when he says, "The Lord disciplines so that we will not be condemned with the world." The gift of salvation is so clearly expressed, so vividly seen as a free, undeserved, gracious gift of God. But let's remember that we are called to receive that grace, but it's God's riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. Yes, indeed, the tagline of the Canadian Legion is, "Lest we forget." Tens of thousands, even more than that, died through wars of different kinds. Tens of thousands died, and we're to be thankful for the freedom that we have. But one died for your salvation and mine, and that's what we're called to remember, lest we forget. And we're not only thankful for something. We're not only thankful for the fact that we have some bread and juice to remember with. We're not only thankful for people who died and for a poppy that we wear, but we are thankful to someone, to him who calls us into a relationship with him. Many times in scriptures, the word remember is associated with, remember that you were once slaves in Egypt. But many times after that, we forget what comes right after that. Remember that you were saved by and through and with and in the waters of the Red Sea. Remember what you were saved for. Just 8 days ago was Reformation Day. And on 1517, we remember the truth perhaps most clearly said in Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10, "For it is by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast, not by works. For you are created, you're the workmanship of Jesus Christ, created for good works in Christ, which he prepared in advance for you to do." So remember, we are called to respond. Remembering is not just a head thing, it's a head thing and a heart thing and a hand thing. We are called to live responsively. Yes, with COVID, we miss much, but we can remember and hope. And let me end with just a few sentences of a challenge before we have our time of silence and communion. In this time of COVID, one day you will remember and look back on this time. For young children, this is a big part of their lives since about March. One day you'll look back on this COVID time, and you will remember also. But what will you remember? And I'd like to challenge you this week, when you think of communion that we're celebrating, when you think of Remembrance Day Wednesday, but perhaps even more than that, can you reflect this week on not simply who you are, but whose you are? Pray that God, in a special way in your remembering, will call you to be a beacon, a light. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. Let's let remembering make a difference. Remembering that Jesus died? Remembering that tens of thousands of Canadians and many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of others died. But let's let remembering make a difference. so that when we look back on COVID, on communion and remember, like the Word of God tells us so clearly, let's make sure it also is a lest we forget. Let's remember to let our light shine. And let your light shine, the light of Jesus Christ, let the salt that he gives and calls you to be make a difference. Not simply because of what you say and do, but because of who you are and whose you are. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. At the end of our prayer, we are going to have a minute of silence as well. So let's come before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. May your word and your spirit find a growing place in our heart and life. Lord, we pray that in our remembering, we will reflect and look back at what you have done and what others have done. Lord, in remembering, let's look at who we are now, maybe even the state we are in now. But in remembering, Lord, let us also realize that one day soon you'll come back. And before that, we'll have other times of remembering. Lord, help us to be an answer to someone's prayer. Let your light shine forth that they may see our good works, but give glory to you, our Father in heaven. Help us, Lord, to let remembering make a difference. And Father God, as we enter a minute of silence, we want to thank you for those who gave their life that we could have freedom, and ultimately that you gave your Son that we could have life. Help us to remember those who have been part of paving the way that we might know freedom. Guide us as we remember, think, and believe in silence. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We move from remembering and thinking based on the words of Scripture, remembering and thinking about the veterans and those who died, and the remembrance that comes with communion. So we have a liturgy that I'm going to read, and then we will have communion. And when we do so, I just want to give you a reminder. First of all, if there anyone who doesn't have a communion cup that wants one, I think Tony's still in the back there. Is there anyone who still needs a cup for communion? Please put up your hand, and Tony will be glad to give you one. And second of all, when you open that cup, be careful, because there are two tabs on it. You want to open the first one first that has the bread or the wafer on it, and be careful not to open the second one until you do after that. They're slightly tricky, but I think this is your third time using these already, so I think it should go well. When I go down to the communion table itself, when I'm standing right there, because I'm just about 6 or 8 feet from you, just for that moment, for a little while, I'll have my mask on, but for the rest, I'll have it off up here. So don't do like I try to do sometime and go through the mask. Of course, you got to lift it up for that part. It doesn't work through it. I've tried, and I know. Beloved in the Lord Jesus, this Holy Supper, which we are about to celebrate, is a feast of remembrance, communion, and of hope. We come in remembrance that our Lord Jesus Christ was sent of the Father into the world to assume our flesh and blood, and to fulfill for us all obedience to the divine law, even to the bitter and shameful death of the cross. By his death, resurrection, and ascension, he established a new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation that we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken by him. We come to have communion with this same Christ, who has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the world. In the breaking of the bread, he makes himself known as the true heavenly bread that strengthens us unto life eternal. In the cup of blessing, he comes to us as the vine in whom we must abide if we are to bear fruit. And thirdly, we come in hope, remembrance, communion, and hope. We come in hope, believing that this bread and this cup are a pledge and foretaste of the feast of love of which we shall partake when his kingdom has fully come, when with unveiled face we shall behold him, made like him in his glory. Since by his death, resurrection, and ascension, Christ has obtained for us the life-giving Spirit who unites us all in one body, so are we to receive this supper in true love, mindful of the communion of saints. We invite all those who have confessed their faith in Christ and are members in good and regular standing of a Christian church to be welcome at the Lord's table. We're now going to share in the communion prayer. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy and right it is, and our joyful duty to give thanks to you at all times and in all places. O Lord, our Creator, almighty and everlasting, you created heaven and all of its hosts, the earth with all of its plenty. You have given us life and being, and preserve us by your providence. But you have shown us the fullness of your love in sending into the world your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, made flesh for us and for our salvation. For the precious gift of this mighty Savior, who has reconciled us to you, we praise you and bless you, O God. With the whole church on earth and with all the company of heaven, we worship and adore your glorious name. Holy, 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 power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Most righteous God, we remember in this supper the perfect sacrifice offered once on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ for the sin of the whole world. In the joy of his resurrection and in expectation of his coming again, we offer ourselves to you as holy and living sacrifices. Together we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ has come again. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, that the bread which we break and the cup which we bless may be to us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Grant that being joined together in him, we may attain to the unity of the faith and grow up in all things into Christ our Lord. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many hills into one cup, grant, O Lord, that your whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I miss having the elders up here with me to serve in communion. What I'd ask now is that you prepare the first part of the communion cup the wafer part. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. This do as often as you eat of it in remembrance of me." The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe. Jesus died for our sins. After the same manner also, he took the cup when they had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." So peel back that second layer and be ready for this part. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink, remember, and believe that the blood of Christ was shed for you. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man had to be lifted up. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. To all who are hungry and thirsty, come without price, for it is free." Turn with me once again to the prayer of thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters, since the Lord has now fed us at his table, let us praise God's holy name with heartfelt thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And do not forget all his benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquity. Who redeems your life from the pit. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He does not deal with us according to our sins. For as the heavens are high above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, as far as a father has compassion for his children, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, and will also give us all things with him. Praise God for this time of communion we could celebrate in. And I got to learn not to try to look at my paper and what's up there at the same time. It happens. We're going to stand in just a moment for the benediction and then our closing song and doxology. Before we stand for the benediction, I want to say once again, it has been a privilege to worship with you and to lead in worship. And I thank you for inviting me here again and look forward to seeing you in a few weeks again. And I pray for God's leading and blessing as he calls you to share what he has made you to be. Let's rise for the benediction, please. You are a people of faith and of hope and of love. You've come to worship and now go out to serve and receive the benediction. May the grace of God the Father, may the love of His Son Jesus Christ, and may the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit be and abide with each and every one, now and forevermore. Amen.